We've been looking this week at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I want to read to you verse 6 through 10. And again, remember, this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he's, you know, basically letting the Ephesians know that the things that God has given, salvation that God has given, is nothing that we have in any way earned. We've done nothing to merit it. It's just that even while we were yet in our sins, even while we were yet lost, still his great love reached out to us and provided that salvation. In verse number 6, it says, "And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Verse 7 says, "He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, and surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Jesus Christ." Verse 8, "For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you were saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves or of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it's a gift of God. Not because of the works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It's not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so that no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself." Verse 10. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." So if we go back to verse number 6, we looked at this again several times. I've kind of commented on this throughout the week. But verse 6 says, "And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One." So it's, again, this whole section is just talking to us about the fact that we have earned nothing. There's nothing. And you know what? It even goes beyond that. It's going beyond just the knowledge that we've earned nothing. That's a true statement. We've earned nothing. The things that God gives us, including salvation and all that comes with salvation, it's a clear gift from God. There's nothing that you could ever do. There's nothing you've done. There's nothing you could ever do that would earn that. Likewise, we just always need to remember that if we want to lay hold of the things that God has for us, if we want to take possession of those promises, of all the things that God has for us, if we want to see those things in our life, it's not going to be done by the works, by our fortitude, by our living a faithful life. It's not going to be done or brought about because of the things that we do. We have nothing to do with it other than just faith, relying, and trusting in him. There's nothing that you can do to ever earn the things, and nothing you ever do does earn those things. Any good thing that's come into your life through Jesus Christ has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ and his love for me. That's what this whole section is just always reminding us of. The blessings, the things that God did, are from his love, his great love, his intense love for us. His limitless love for us has motivated him to reach out and bring salvation, and all the things that come with salvation has nothing to do with us except that we just accept what he's already done. In verse number 6, when it says that he has raised us up together, you know, we need to see ourselves in this place. We need to see ourselves. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, when it's talking about the blessings and the cursings, you know, one of the things it says is that we are lifted up. We are raised up on high. We are lifted up on high. Okay, it's the same thing. Part of the blessings is being lifted up on high. One of the blessings that God talks about from the very beginning in Deuteronomy for you and I is we are lifted up on high. This is exactly what Jesus is emphasizing and reemphasizing to us here through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He's raised us up together to those high places. That's where, in the spiritual realm, that is where we are. We're seated with him in those high places. That's why we're the head, not the tail. That's why we're above and never below. It's when we think to ourselves that it's incumbent upon me to do something to earn or to bring about the blessings of God. Well, I'm then taking myself from that high place and bringing myself, I'm lowering myself back down here to the natural. And in the natural, in my own strength, there's nothing I can do that is ever going to bring about those blessings, those promises, those good things that God has established for us. We need to see and realize that Christ's coming and the promises of salvation include all those blessings that God talked about in Deuteronomy, including being lifted up into the high places. This is what we learn from verse number 6 of Ephesians 2. He has raised us up. We are raised up. We are raised up above all these things in the natural. Now, it's true that we still dwell in the natural. We dwell in this physical body. We dwell in this natural reality. But in Christ Jesus, we are raised up above this natural. That means all the faults, all the problems, all the worries, all the stresses, all the tensions, all the problems, all the difficulties, all the things that aren't working, those things are here in the natural. But we are raised up to a higher place. We are seated. We are given seating with Jesus Christ, seated together and made to sit down. We're made to sit down with him in those high places. Why is that important? Because when you're sitting down, you're not doing. We always come back to wanting to do something. We always think that we have to do something more to somehow deserve or somehow receive the promises and the blessings that God's given us or established for us. There's nothing that you can ever do. There's nothing that I can ever do that's going to make me worthy of that. It's because of our relationship. That's what it says. It's because of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. It's because of our relationship with him. That's the only reason. Because of our relationship, who we are with him, we are raised up from above all of this and seated with him in the high places. Seated means that we are sitting. We're not doing. We're sitting. We always want to be doing something. I feel like I have to do something more to grab hold of the promises. I feel like I need to be doing something more to see my marriage restored, or my relationship with my children restored, or my financial situation turned around, or that bankruptcy turned around and being delivered, or health being restored to my body. I've got to do something else. If you're trying to do something, or think you need to do something more, or you're not doing something, you're getting the wrong image. You're looking at it from down here in this natural realm. Instead, look at it from the perspective of one who is seated with Christ Jesus in the high places. Listen, Jesus is seated because he's already done the work. Everything is done. Everything is complete. That's what the whole end of the creation story was. There was 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, God rested. Why did he rest? Did God rest because he was exhausted from all the work it took to create? No, it says in Psalms that God never grows weary. He's never tired. God wasn't exhausted. It was nothing for God to do all the creation. So why did he rest on the seventh day? We look at the word rest and we think that rest means being exhausted. You have to recharge your batteries. You have to, you know, get that strength built back up again. And we place that and we project that upon God. That's not what it means. He rested for this reason. He rested because the work was complete. Everything was done. There was nothing else to create. He created everything in perfection. Everything that had to be done and was put in place. There was nothing else to do. So the resting is synonymous or tied to everything being done, everything being complete, everything being complete and whole and perfect. That's why he rested. When it talks to us in Hebrews and draws the comparison of the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest is, the Sabbath being that seventh day, the Sabbath being that day set aside, it's tied together with that same philosophy or that same outlook and attitude that we should have with that seventh day after creation. It's a place of rest. Sabbath rest is a place of being in perfection, being in that place of that calm assurance. Sabbath rest really is referring to exactly what we see here in Ephesians chapter 2. Sabbath rest means you don't have to work, you don't have to do, you don't have to struggle to make things happen. You don't have to struggle to grab hold of the promises. You don't have to wrestle and do something to make Jesus fulfill the promises that he's given to us through his word. Because you're seated in that place of rest. Rest means we no longer need to be doing. We rest because we are in that place of perfect perfection. We're in that place of completion where we can just simply receive the things that God has given us. This is where we need to see ourselves, and this is where we need to picture ourselves. Verse number 7 goes on to say, he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through all the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor. Again, this is a reminder to us, there's nothing that you can do. If you're sitting there today thinking, what did I do wrong? Why, what is it I didn't do? Or what is it I did wrong that has caused me to have this sickness? Or what is it I didn't do yet that is still leaving me in this place of having this financial worry, this financial pressure upon me? Or what is it I haven't done? Or what did I do wrong that is leaving me in this place of sickness or marital problems or emotional problems or whatever it is you're faced with? What is it that I didn't do? Or what is it that I did wrong? You're looking at it from the wrong perspective. You're looking at it from the perspective of here in the natural instead of in that high place seated with him in that place of perfection where there's nothing that you have to do. The work is already done. We just receive it by faith, by trusting in him, by having that trust, that reliance, that totally relying upon him. That's what brings those things to pass because he's already done it. It's kind of silly when you think about it. If Jesus has already done everything you need, it's kind of silly, and in fact, it's more than silly. It's a lack of faith. God moves through faith. If I'm asking God to do something, if I'm asking Jesus to do something that he's already done, that means I don't believe he already did it. There's no faith in that. Instead, if I see myself in that place, that high place, seated with him in that place of perfection, in that place of rest, in that place of peace, if I see myself there, then I know that these things that he's promised are already done and already mine, regardless of whether I see it in the natural realm or not. Faith is believing those things that you do not see. That's what faith is. It's seeing yourself in those high places. It's seeing yourself seated right there with Jesus Christ in that spiritual realm, in the heavenly places, in that place of rest, seated at rest, ready to just receive, required to do nothing other than believe it. Again, let me emphasize that again. If I am asking God, if I'm asking Jesus to do something in my life, like Jesus, deliver me from this, whether it's health or whether it's finances or whatever it is, if I'm asking him to do it, that means I don't believe he already did it. I'm still up and around, and I want Jesus to get up off of where he's seated in the heavenly places, get up and get to work on my behalf. I want this done. That says I don't believe he's already done it. If I don't believe he's already done it, there's no faith involved in the equation. And if there's no faith, Jesus can't move to bring those things that he's already done to pass. Does that make sense? That's why we need to see ourselves seated with him in the heavenly places. For it's by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved. Salvation includes all the promises that you're looking for. Delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. That means you are partaking in every deliverance, in every promise of his word. How? Through your faith. My faith has to see me. It doesn't matter what it looks like here in this natural realm. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter that maybe the bank is calling today and saying, hey, if we don't get these payments in, we're going to start foreclosure process. It doesn't matter what things look like or what things sound like. Those are things recognized and perceived with my natural senses. The things that we're talking about when we're seated in that place, seated in at rest, in that perfect place, in the spiritual realm, in that perfect place of perfection where all the things that Jesus has already done and accomplished are done. Faith says, I see myself there. I see myself with that truth. And if that's where you can see yourself in the spiritual realm, if that's where you can see yourself, then faith will allow you to grab hold of those things that are done in the spiritual realm and bring them here to pass in the reality of your life. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's not of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it's a gift of God. These things are the gifts of God. And these are the things that he expects for us as well. You know, if you have time this weekend, read through verse 10 and just see, even in verse 10, that this is the plan that God has for us. It's the things that he wants, he's already established for us, and he wants us to walk into them.